Welcome everybody to the Listen Up Podcast. It's your boy Brandon at Future No Dad 24.
This your boy Sam at More Life One.
Let's get it. Put it up.
The type of people made the club before. Many a day has passed.
Yo, what's up, everybody? It is the Listen Up Podcast. It's your boy Brandon.
This is your boy Sam.
Hey man, we are back with another episode, man. Listen, lots happened since the last episode, man. We've had a bowl game, signing day, a lot of transfers, Nick Saban retiring, and we're gonna cover it all, man. Sam, you ready?
Let's get to it.
All right, man, let's get to it. So first of all, I ain't even gonna start with Florida State. I've been watching you on Twitter since the Jaguar season ended, and for the most part, I agree with some of the things. You know what I mean? Some of the things, but it's a lot of I can't even figure out the right word for it. I'll say Trevor Lawrence pandering going on the timeline, and I'm gonna be honest with you, I don't really like it.
Okay, why not?
Well, for starters, I feel like he gets none of the blame. Like I've been, matter of fact, since the season ended, it hadn't even really been you. It's been basically everybody who's a Jaguar fan and who covers the team have went out their way to figure out how we can take all the interceptions and put them into somebody else's name. Oh, he ran the wrong route. He was supposed to run it 5 yards. He ran it seven, and that's why he threw it to the other guy. I mean, it's been a whole lot of excuses when, in fact, again, I'm not saying that Trevor Lawrence should be cut and, you know, all this stuff, but I am saying he should get a larger chunk of the responsibility or the blame when it comes to how bad this team has been, especially the second half of the season. So I had to get that out first, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Because I've been listening to y'all I've been watching y'all on Twitter just, you know, constantly give passes and passes. And I'm just,
I think you have to look at things like this, right? Is Trevor Lawrence the most talented quarterback that's ever been in a Jacksonville Jaguar uniform?
Yes.
Okay. So he's the most talented quarterback. Is it easier to play quarterback now than it's ever been?
Is it easier?
Yeah. Is it easier now to play quarterback? Huh?
No, I wouldn't say it's easier not to play quarterback. No.
I think it's pretty easy to play quarterback. I'm not saying it's easy, but I'm saying it's as easy as it has been.
Yeah, with a lot of college offenses coming in, the NFL and stuff like that. Yeah.
Things are built around you a lot better.
Yeah.
Supposed to be built around you a lot better. So I think when you talk about Trevor Lawrence, I think that does he have top 10 potential? Does he have potential to be a top 10 quarterback in the NFL? Like, have we seen that potential? You don't think so?
No.
You don't think we've seen glimpses? So
I think we've seen what every other marginal quarterback has done. Every now and then he'll put together a 300 something yard game.
No, I think he's That's been much think. Better
I
than
think he's
I think he's
15 think, to 32.
I think he shows potential of being a top 10 quarterback in the NFL. I think he shows that potential. So I think under that scope, is it easy to find a quarterback? Is it easy to find a starting quarterback in the NFL? No, it's not.
No,
is it easy to find? Is it easy to find a guy that could be a top 10 quarterback? Absolutely not. That's really, really hard.
Almost impossible. Yeah.
So I think he checks both of those boxes. I think the problem that we're having is, how do you help him find consistency where he can be a top 10 guy and be like a legit guy that can win Super Bowls? Win a Super Bowl or get to a Super Bowl. And I think that's the argument people are having across the timeline. It's not like, Wig is my guy. I love Wig. But Wig was saying, Doug Peterson don't think Trevor Lawrence is that good, you know. And to my rebut with Wig when we were having this conversation was, okay, Doug Peterson can think that. Got no problem with Doug Peterson thinking that. But if you don't think that, then what are we supposed to do with that? Because your job is to get him to be as good as you think he can be, or as good as possible in the league. Your job is not to tell us what the problem is. Your job is to find solutions. That's your job. So if you, if that's something that's being floated around that building that he believes, and then Doug Peterson don't need a job here anymore, because Doug Peterson hasn't done anything. I mean, like, people keep talking about he won a Super Bowl, and I'm like, I'm not trying to be funny here. I'm like, okay, well, he won a Super Bowl. I give him credit for that. But Howard Roseman built that team. And when Howard Roseman got tired of Doug Peterson, he fired his ass and hired somebody else, and asked another coach took him to the Super Bowl. So Doug Peterson's pretty fucking replaceable as far as I'm concerned. He's not a team builder. You know what I'm saying? It ain't like you
don't hired. Disagree, though.
Huh? Yeah, it's not like
you don't disagree.
Yeah, it's not like you hired Bill Belichick. Doug Peterson. I mean, he can be fired. Like, he can be let go. He doesn't have a great track record. And people get to about him developing quarterbacks. I'm like, what quarterback has he developed? What quarterback have you seen consistent play out of for 3 to 4 years at a time? You haven't seen it. Okay, so like I told you, we can have all the issues of who the problem is and what's the problem. What's the problem? This the problem. That's the problem. Who are the people in the building with solutions? Because they didn't find any.
They don't have any. From the owner down, nobody has any answers.
Okay, right? So that's
just
my
saying,
problem.
The Trevor
so
before is also I get, not is not is also
okay,
not the answer.
Okay, but before I get mad at the 24-year-old and decide he can't do this or can't do that, okay, I need the 50-year-olds to create something that allows the 20-year-olds in the building to thrive. That's what I need. And I don't need you to tell me who ain't and who is good. I don't care about your assessment of, oh, he's not generational. Okay, I don't care if he's generational. I need you to find a way to win 10 to 11 games, get in the playoffs in a division. That's what I need you to do. You know what I'm saying? So that's how I feel about this conversation.
So I you basically saying it's everybody's problem. Not Trevor has the pieces, but we don't have enough. The people around him has failed Trevor.
If you're a great coach, man, you're going to go through players, man. You're going to go through – if you're a great coach and you're going to have a long tenure in the NFL, you're going to go through 15, 20, 30, 50, 100, 1,000 players.
Right.
Your job is to find solutions for those players for them to help the franchise and build a franchise and make a great franchise. That's your job. Your job ain't to tell everybody what the problem is.
I agree with that.
We're fans.
I agree.
We're fans. We see problem. We understand it's problem. Like, yeah, I'm
that defense was a problem.
But see, this is why people got mad at me. This is why I wanted Byron Leftwich, because I wanted new management. I wanted somebody with fresh takes on the situation. I didn't want retreads. I didn't want to retread. I wanted a fresh GM. I wanted a fresh head coach.
Maybe this go around we'll get them.
You know,
when they let Doug Peterson go, unless we the team they talking about with Bill Belichick, well, they gonna fire their coach to bring in Bill Belichick.
I mean, I would
get rid of everybody. Everybody go.
Yeah, I would. I definitely would. Yeah. I would. I definitely would. So, you know, Jacksonville's in a weird place. You know, I mean, they're not gonna hire Leftwich now. I mean, boat sailed. But my thing was at that time when people got mad at me, talking, oh, you just want Leftwich because he's black, which that was some of it too. But other part of it was I wanted fresh management. I wanted coaches that was player oriented, that was mm-hmm. about developing players, and I wanted that whole system. I don't need these older guys, man. They like rats, man. Once they done been through all these different jobs, they become like rats. Everything becomes about survival. It's mm-hmm. not about building anymore. They all just trying to survive. They're trying to get to the next week and the next year. They're not trying to build. You know what I'm saying? So that was my biggest problem. And now, you know, Jacksonville don't spend all this cap money on it, all these marginal little small players that can't really – I ain't say they can't play. They could have made the playoffs, man, and they probably make the playoffs next year. But the problem is you're not built in a sustainable way with all pros on your – young all-pro guys on your roster. You only got two guys that got potential to be all-pros. Well, three guys. They got potential to be all pros on this team. That's it. But you don't spend all this money in cap.
Now, again, Wiggs said they got plenty of cap space. I don't know NFL and cap space and all that other stuff. Wiggs say they got plenty of cap space. They're going to be able to do all the things they need to do.
They do a terrible job at drafting.
Terrible job at drafting.
So we are where we are with that situation. And I think they'll be good. I think they'll be good next year in some ways. And in some ways, I think you're going to be firing Doug Peterson.
I think you'll be right exactly where we are this year. Like,
I think you're going to be close again. Years, yeah.
Either make the playoffs or miss the playoffs and be right back in the same. You know what I mean? Like,
the thing be, people fall in love with these coaches and stuff. And it's like, it gets so weird because every time I talk to somebody, well, Doug won a Super Bowl. Doug. Okay, bro. Okay. Congratulations to Doug Peterson for winning the Super Bowl. I can't take that away from the man. But I don't need you to tell me what the problem is. I need you to find solutions. Like the good coaches in this NFL league, the Sean McVays, Cleveland Browns was on their second string everything on offense this year. They was on their second string everything on offense this year. That man found solutions and Jordan to the playoffs in a tougher division than what we was in.
That is a fact.
The Rams had 29 undrafted players on their team playing. The Rams did. They had to do a full rebuild. When people was in the playoffs this year. Like, be serious, bro. Be a serious program. Stop having, we got you. We know you got problems. Okay, find solutions, man. Find solutions.
Yeah, I don't believe Doug. That's Doug strong suit.
Okay, so then that's why Howie fired his ass, because Howie don't want to hear the problem with the franchise quarterback. He don't want to hear that. He want to hear solutions. That's why they fired him out of Philly.
Yeah.
Go leak this to the media. Leak to the media. You're being fired. We're finna hire somebody else. And you got a statue outside.
He definitely don't like Trevor, though. I guess I've heard that from a few different people. It's little things, bro.
When you're willing to say things like back the offensive line, saying the offensive line ain't as bad, and they're gonna develop as a great group, and you say things like there's nothing wrong with the plays. We're watching the games, Doug. We're watching this man run for his life, and we're watching your center get pushed 5 yards backward. Like, so what are you saying, bro? What are you saying?
Those.
So you can't say that about the You just can't
about
do
the
that.
Offensive line. Yeah, at that point, because that it comes off as disingenuous at this point. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you're having a job. Yeah.
And if, like, you know, a couple times, you know, Trevor ran some plays that he freelanced on a couple plays this year, which he did it last year too. And I know that'd be pissing Doug off because he loves his playbook. See, because he's a play caller. You know, his playbook got all the solutions in it. You know, just run my plays. These plays are going to get us where we need to go at. Well, the kid clearly don't believe in your plays. That's why he's freelancing like that. It's a problem. These are issues. This is why you need to fire people. But, you know, this is me, though. Anyway. Let's get some official stuff. I can go on and on about the Jaguars for days.
No. Listen, I wanted you to be able to get my whole point was I don't feel like Trevor Lawrence is getting nearly enough of the blame. And
okay with blaming him, though. See, I'm okay with that. But my thing be, I personally don't feel like as a young quarterback that got talent, I don't think you've given him enough. I think you're trying to. You want him to elevate these pieces that you're giving him, but the pieces around him that don't elevate him. That's two totally different things. Right. See, I think because he's young in a rookie contract, you should be trying to put pieces around him to elevate him. You know what I'm saying? You should have went and got George Pickens instead of drafting 14 linebackers. You know what I'm saying? Like, you should go do things like that. Start drafting running backs and get some interior guards in early in the drafts. You know? They ain't do that, though. Don't get a big body tight end for blocking in the second round when you're in a draft with Luke Musgrave, Sam LaPorta, and Dalton Kincaid that's making all these plays. You know, don't do stuff like that. Be a smart organization. You know, stop being dumb. They don't do that.
I've been to say, I don't know if we're a smart organization, though, if we really, you know, want to break it down.
Let's put this in the smart organization stuff.
Yeah, so...
Let's go right here. Saban, the great Nick Saban, finally retired. I remember we was on this podcast, man. I think he was on here with Ingram probably 2 years ago, maybe 3 years ago. Yeah, we talking about, you know, Florida State in a rebuild. We was in that rebuild, and we was like, what would it take to get Florida State at the top back where they used to be? And I remember I said it would take luck. Remember I said that? Like, it's gonna take some luck. It's gonna take
a lot of luck.
It's gonna take some luck. I say it's gonna take guys. It's gonna take some of this landscape changing, right? Coaches leaving certain jobs, you know, coaches are getting fired from certain jobs and stuff like that.
Rivals and, being down.
Rivals being down at a certain point in time. Yep. And right now, you know, you got Saban who left college football. Jimbo Fisher who's out of a job right now. So that's two of the best recruiters in the country. That's no longer working. So now I can honestly say, I think FSU has an opportunity here to be a top five recruiting school if they do it right. Say that Nick Saban void, you know, brings a lot of balance to college football. You know what I'm saying?
Because it
was. Now, granted, and I know I was talking to Wig about this. We talk about who benefits the most from this stuff, and I still think it's Georgia.
Kirby, yeah, the answer is Jerk.
I mean, because he has nobody to oppose him anymore.
Correct.
Like, that is it.
Yeah.
Like, that is
he has no rival.
That was it. Yeah. I mean, that was it. I mean, basically, it was him and Nick Saban for every top O lineman, D lineman, safety in the country. And if one didn't get in, the other got him. So, you know, now, I mean, I expect for his recruiting to, I expect for him to hit number one class after number one class for the next 4 or 5 years, easy. I do think Texas is going to benefit from it a lot, to be honest with you, because of that.
We've seen it already. Yeah.
So I do think that, but I do think as everything kind of trickles down a little bit, I definitely think FSU benefits a lot from it, because I think with some of these skilled guys in Florida, you're going to have more of an opportunity to get them. They got to work a lot harder than what they are, though, at these offensive linemen and D-linemen. I mean, these top guys, O-line, D-line. They got to start really making a harder they got to make a harder push. They really do. But I do think Saban retiring is a plus for FSU.
Yeah, 100%. You dead on. Georgia's though is the hugest benefactor in my opinion, because you know they had a lot of battles together. Well, now you remove that. I mean, there was a period of time where if Nick called your recruit, he was gone. You understand? Like, you only had him as long as Nick didn't want him. You know, and that it was like that for a very long time. Where if you had a recruit, you had a top recruit, you better hold on to him tight, because and hope that Nick don't call. Because if Nick called, even in the 11th hour, he was gonna take your recruit. And so, you know, having that out of the landscape, boy, that helps a whole lot, right? But right. Then, all right, well, Georgia's in there. Georgia should be number one. But now I think there's some parity in 2 through 8. You know what I mean? I think you're going to see that, you know, rotate a lot depending on who's hot, what's going on, and how things and how the recruiting, I guess, what position is hot. Now, from a Florida State standpoint, Our trench recruiting has to get better, just plain and simple. I felt like we've given Mike a lot of passes, right? And over the years, just from a recruiting standpoint. And now we feel like everything they've needed to do, they've done. So now at this point, it's just a matter of executing. And I'm just not sure if they are at a high enough level, especially when it comes to just offensive linemen and defensive linemen when it comes to blue chip players. Again, he seemed to be able to get them in the portal, right? Like, so I don't know the difference between the portal recruiting versus the high school recruiting. Maybe you can speak to that a little bit more. Maybe we have, you know what I mean, some people later on to talk about the biggest differences between these two, because he does seem to like, he does seem to be able to get these guys the second go around. On the third go around, you know what I mean? Like, we missed out on Marvin Jones Jr. when it came to high school recruiting, but then, you know, fast forward, oh, you end up getting them later. So what happened in the original recruitment that caused us to miss out on them, that now 2 years later we're able, you know what I mean, we're now in a position where he's able to say yes? Well, why wasn't he able to say yes the first time? You know what I mean? Like, and so I think we got to figure out what's the difference in these two recruitings that will allow us to capitalize on some of these blue chip young guys, especially on the O-line, because at the end of the day, that's where these games are won and lost. We look at Michigan, who just won a championship. Michigan won the championship in the trenches. Like, that was a concerted effort of we can push you guys around, period. Whenever we want to, we can push you guys around, and we can push anybody in the country around.
Yeah, that's kind of interesting, because I remember I remember a certain podcaster coming on here saying that Washington and Michigan's like two of the best teams in the country, but you know, he got screwed.
I still think we would have slapped Washington. Again, you ain't gonna convince me again. I will give you Michigan. I still think we would have beat Washington. I think we would have beat Washington with Chubba Purdy too. I think our defense was that good. That's just my
Chubba Purdy.
Not Chubba Purdy. Lord have mercy.
What are we talking about?
Chubba Purdy.
Tate could barely hold his water in the swamp.
Okay. I understand what you're saying.
I'm just telling you, give me a month.
I think we would have beat Washington.
Okay. At this point, it really doesn't matter.
It didn't happen.
All I'm saying is a certain podcaster did say that. That's all I'm saying.
You are 100% right on Michigan being a very dominant team. I didn't think Michigan had enough. Offense to be able, but again, defense wins championships, man. And one thing we saw is them boys, all those recruiting cycles of him coming in here and stealing blue chip talent, you know what I mean, alone in Florida, paid off.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Eventually it paid off. And so you kind of saw a blueprint of, hey, Florida State has to build up those recruiting, has to build recruiting on the defensive offensive line, because if you can build those up, it really can mask a lot of other stuff that you may have wrong with it. Like if your quarterback play is not that great, if he gets time, almost any quarterback, if he has some time, he can make some throws. You know what I mean? We didn't think Graham Mertz was a very good quarterback, but their offensive line was decent and he was able to make some throws. You know what I mean? He was able to make some throws. And I believe that's what Florida State has to fix. And if Nick Saban's gone helps that, shout out to Nick Saban. You know what I mean? Retires the GOAT, in my opinion. Good. Now we may have an opportunity to get some of these offensive linemen and defensive linemen that we didn't have, you know, that we didn't have the opportunity to get because we understood Georgia, Bama was getting.
Yeah.
But so we can fit in that spot.
I mean, I think that's the biggest thing. It's going to be they're going to have to take extra steps to secure these elite O linemen and D linemen. I mean, because Texas are coming for them, you know.
I don't want to say I ain't worried about Texas. Texas is going to be in the mix, but I feel like Florida State should also be in the mix. You know what I mean? Like, in other words, if you say, all right, Bama, I mean, if you say Georgia's one, right, let's pencil in Texas, Florida State should be right in there. Right. Auburn does benefit as well. Yeah, I saw Navy Noel just put that Auburn benefits as well. Auburn definitely benefits as well. But
yeah, you know. I put them at three when you talk about benefiting because they already recruit. Auburn normally don't recruit at like a top five level. They normally don't do that. They normally kind of stay around 10 to 12, mm-hmm. 14.
But they can move. Yeah, they'll probably move up to like seven.
And they kind of cherry pick guys off of other teams.
Yes.
But I think with what they have now, man, I think Auburn to be, they'll be shooting for some top five classes. I promise you that. So.
Okay.
You know, that's gonna be something to watch. You know, Auburn, what Auburn's doing. You know, of course, Miami's gonna be Miami. They're gonna be a recruiting juggernaut as long as Mario's sitting there. So, you know, but at the same time, I think what Mario's doing in Miami, he's gonna continue to do. Like, that's just who he is. That's what he has a track record for that. You know what I'm saying?
Speaking of Miami, Cam Ward, I guess, gets his draft grade back and didn't really scream out how he thought it was gonna go. Even though I feel like anybody who loved him or was around him should have told him that his draft grade wasn't going to be high. And he wasn't going in I thought he was maybe, what, fourth? What grade? I mean, what grade do you think he got? I was going to say fourth or fifth, or maybe even undrafted.
I mean, I think I was talking to Wig about this because we're talking about players, he's, you know, drafted. Because I know everybody want to take a shit on J.J. McCarthy saying he ain't shit, da 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 da. This, and I'm like, okay, whatever, man. I said, but the NFL, there is becoming this new thing of quarterback value now, where mm-hmm. people are saying, do I pay this guy $40 million because he's a good quarterback? Or can I get that same exact play out of this mediocre quarterback? Can I get that out of another quarterback for $10 million? Kind of like mm-hmm. what the 49ers did with Brock Purdy, right? Mm-hmm. It was like, can we get the same exact play that Jimmy Garoppolo's giving us with Brock Purdy for $30 million less, right? Yeah, so a lot of that's happening. That's happening in the NFL. You got a lot of interest in the NFL, and they already gave an extra position to the teams for quarterback in the NFL, right? Mm-hmm. So you're going to start seeing more of these guys get drafted in the third, fourth, fifth round or whatever, and just being stuck on the back of a bench, and they trying to develop these guys into guys that can be starters, so they don't have to pay. Like I told, I use the example of Tua compared to JJ McCarthy. Like, couldn't JJ McCarthy do damn near the same thing Tua do?
Mm-hmm.
Could you get him and train him for 2 years, and instead of paying Tua $50 million, you pay JJ McCarthy $10 million to throw a bunch of slants to Tyreek Hill? Yeah. Win 10 games and lose in the first round of playoffs. Can't you pay him to do that? I think you could pay him to do that. I
think you can find a lot of them.
I think you can train him and pay him to do that. You know what I'm saying? So with Cam Ward, though, and this is something I told Wig, I think it's valid. I think turning the football over, I think that does translate as something tangible to look at when you're evaluating quarterbacks. I never forget when Jameis Winston was throwing an interception at FSU that last year, and we kept saying, oh, it's the wide receiver's fault. We was like, oh, it's not a big deal, the wide receiver's fault. Mm-hmm. No. Yeah, like a little turnover.
You were running the wrong routes. You had to run these curls.
Yeah, we kept saying little things like that. And we always kind of like, because he would be so great for stretches of a game that we would just kind of look past the first two interceptions, a fumble or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But in the NFL, though, that shit does mean something, because if you look at it, guys that turn the football in college, that doesn't change in the NFL. It gets worse.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? And because the possessions are so limited, that does, like, to me, that's something that translates. So the way he turns the football over, I just don't think he can. It's going to be hard for him to play in the NFL with the way he turns.
It's going to be hard for him to play in college. If you look at Cam Ward, and again, listen, I don't want to take anything
college
away.
Is different,
we did want him.
You get more possessions in college, and because you're explosive, and if you're an explosive player,
yeah,
in college,
but 12, but 12 is a lot of. When you start talking about, he has very high turnover numbers. And we talked about it. So I don't want anybody, to think that we had, that this is some sort of, we didn't get him, so now we're gonna shit on the kid. That's not, because we talked about this beforehand. Even when we said we think we wanted, Cam Ward over Uiagalelei.
Well, I thought Buffalo was mid.
We thought the ceiling was high, the potential and ceiling was higher for Cam Ward than we did of Uiagalelei. We thought, both of them were mid though. And neither one of them was going to be Jordan Travis. But one thing we talked about was those turnovers. Every single year, he is consistent. I'm fumbling the football. You know what I mean? Like, he has 12, 14, 14 fumble. You know what I mean? Like, every single season. This, at this point, we can't say it's a fluke. It feels like this is just kind of something he does not value ball protection. And we talked about it then. If you don't protect the football and you're playing marginal games, which Miami and Florida State often seem to be in, you're playing games that comes down to one or two possessions. Mm-hmm. When you are playing those type of games, you cannot afford to turn the ball over 14 times. That is the difference between wins and losses. And so Miami with a coach who's not very good, great recruiter, but just not good in game. I don't know if he's the best fit for Miami when you look at their coaches already going to lose you a couple possessions just doing dumb stuff. You know what I mean? So now you're talking about you had these turnovers in, and I can really see it going off the rails in Miami. If he's good, he's good. But I just don't, I think with that coaching and that system, with that type of quarterback play, if he doesn't fix the turnovers, then Miami can really be in for a very bad season.
So, I don't think he'll have as many turnovers next year as he had this year. I don't. And the main reason I say that is because my offensive line is really good.
Yep.
So, I think with the offensive line being as good as it is and that defense being as good as it is, they won't be out of a lot of games. They're going to be in games.
Mm-hmm.
So, I do think the turnovers will come down a little bit, because I think when he's playing at Washington State, a lot of those games was like shootouts. And you have to make plays to win those games. So I think a lot of the anxiety to make a play is going to come down a little bit for him. And I think he does get at Miami offense a lot of answers, because now he can legit run the football.
Yeah.
And I think with some of those deep threats that Miami got, especially with JoJo Trader and George and those other guys, Strapper and those guys, it's a lot of answers on that offense that didn't exist on the Washington State offense. So I think he'd be better there. But he is going to turn the football over. That's a DNA thing. You know what I'm saying?
It is. Yeah. if when he was at when he was at Incarnate Ward, he turned the ball over. He went to Washington State, turned the ball, like it's in him to turn the football over. Like I don't you know what I mean? Like,
and I know I was telling some Miami fans who kept talking about, you know, Mario trying to be like Michigan, and I told him, I said, you know, it's a reason why JJ McCarthy, like, I'm not trying to make JJ McCarthy be some great quarterback. I'm really not. But I'm just saying, like, all he does is keep them on schedule. That's all he does. He's just like, hey, y'all want me to meet this five out? I hit this clear out for 5 yards. They had to run for 7 to 8. I'm not going to turn the football over. I'm not going to fumble the football. The play is not there. I go run for 3 yards. And I'm never going to do anything to hurt my team. And I told somebody, I say, that's for Miami.
There's a skill in that.
Yeah, it's a skill. That's a skill set. And, like, people don't have to like that, but that is a skill set. And I was telling somebody, I said, for Miami to become Michigan, they will have to change their whole DNA. And their DNA is they get flags. They get flags. They do. I mean, they just do. They get flags, and they turn the football over. Michigan don't do those two things. Those are two things Michigan don't do. They don't get flags on them, and they don't turn the football over. So it's going to be tough for them to become that. You know what I'm saying? I think Miami, but like I told Wade, I think they're gonna be good next year. I do think they're gonna be good. I think they'll be, you know, one or two, because even when Mario was at Oregon, you know, and he's still not gonna be a great game day coach. It's not gonna change anything, but they're gonna have an explosiveness to that offense because of Cam Ward, where you can't do certain things, or they're gonna be able to get up top and get touchdowns on you now. And if you pair that with a very aggressive defense and the AC, a week in ACC next year, I think you got a chance to be pretty good. So, you know,
it's gonna be
fascinating. Yeah.
No, it is. It's gonna be fun to watch, really.
But I think both of those quarterbacks are marginally mid. I think DJ's very mid. I think Cam Ward is just as mid. Skill sets are a little different, you know. How FSU,
who has the better season then? Who do you feel has the better season?
I think numbers wise, Cam Ward would have a better season.
Okay. As far as wins wise, who has the better season?
I think FSU has the better season. I really do. I got to see what else they're gonna do in the portal. But wins wise, I think it's gonna be close, man. Because Miami bring a lot of that roster back. Mm-hmm. That was a pretty good roster. That's a roster that should have won 9 games. And they won 7, I think. They should have won 9. And this year, I think they got a roster that should win 10. So if you tell me you got a 10-win roster, I think you could push for 11 or 12 wins if you get hot in the right places. So it's, you know, and they kept their coordinators.
Miami.
And they kept their coordinators. So that was, to me, I was like, if they keep those coordinators, they're going to be pretty good. And they did keep the coordinators. So I think they're going to be pretty good.
Yeah. I actually think Miami's going to be, it's going to be pretty good if they can.
I do think they're going to beat the brakes off of Florida. I do. I really do.
I'm whatever the line is, I'm putting that on it. Yeah. I'm putting money on it. Yeah. I'm with you on that one. I think that's a blowout waiting to happen. Again, I think Miami is going to be good if Miami can stay out of Miami's way. If Miami cannot Miami, then I agree.
If he can get the penalities down,
he's not getting the penalties down. Well, that's in first of all, it's in him, and it's in those players. Like, you know, certain.
Well, when he was at Oregon, when he was at Oregon, they didn't get penalized a lot.
Oregon's culture is different. Just the idea, the players they recruit is different. Everything about it is different. Miami's going to get penalized. Since the 90s, you know what I mean? Since the 90s and 80s, they've been penalized. That's kind of what they're going to do. I don't even think it's something you can fix. I wouldn't even use it as a point of reference. Just, you know what I mean? Like, we're going to get these penalties. How can we work around it? They're going to do dumb shit. You know what I mean? Like, they're going to do dumb shit. It is who they are. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, yeah. Yeah, he said Cam had 10 turnovers, but he had 50 touchdowns. Like, he's really boom or bust. Like, he going to turn the football over, but he also going to make some explosive plays that's going to be hard to stop.
Yeah, but if you pair
I'm
that
interested
with
in seeing what it looks like against Clemson. You know what I mean? What does Cam Ward look like against?
Yeah, but
you know what I mean? Against Florida State and those teams.
Yeah, but if you pair that with a good defense, right, those touchdowns with a good defense, then you're giving that defense leverage. So if you can get up on a team 14-3, and a lot of defense is just running hit. Now they can
defense
get
game. Don't run it. I get you. Like you're right in what you're saying.
They play good defense.
They do play. But they also in third and 15 gonna get a rough in the passer, and it's gonna get, you know what I mean, and it's gonna give a first down, and you gonna get a first down on some unnecessary stuff that's gonna keep a team in the game. And now you're in a dogfight in the fourth quarter when you should have been blowing them out. That's also in Miami's DNA. I don't disagree. Miami is gonna be very good. You know what I mean? I don't mean very good. I mean like not championship level, but I think, like you said, 10 wins. I can see them getting 10 wins easily.
I just think,
but I can also see them, you know what I mean? I can also see it going off the rails and they get 8 again. They get, you know what I mean? They get 7 or 8. Like it's,
I don't know. I think their floor is a lot higher than 8. Because where they are in
their floor was a lot higher than 8 last year, though. But,
well, I think where they are in the trenches, and I think with the quarterback they got, I think now you can go into games saying, hey, we can score 24 points. Like, we can get to 24, 25 pretty easy. Our defense
should be able to stop you from
And our defense is going to be so that, because that keeping those coordinators was a big deal for Mario. He hadn't had the year over coordinator thing yet, right? Yeah. You know, the first group of guys he had, they left. He wanted a lot of those guys he kicked out of there because they wasn't recruiting to the level he wanted them to recruit to. So got rid of Charlie Strong and Kevin Steele. And the guys he got now is a younger staff, right? He kept the two, the OC and the DC. Both of those guys, to me, they was pretty good for Miami, you know. So that was a big deal for them, you know what I'm saying? So, like I say, they, you know, I think Kevin just put it right here in the chat, you know, they missed Clemson this year, NC State and UNC, and they play the two biggest games, FSU and Louisville. Well, you know, Louisville, they can beat Louisville. And okay, now you got a one game season. Now Louisville is tough to beat now, because I mean,
now, I say, but they always have a one. I guess my thing is, I looked at their schedule last year and didn't think it was that tough either. Now you know what I mean, now you're losing to Georgia Tech.
But last year we did have that big question mark of Van Dyke, though. We was like, yeah, because he was so bad the year before, remember?
But we still have question marks. I guess what I'm saying is, the question marks that we had about Van Dyke were not there before Mario Cristobal got there, and then Mario Cristobal came, and Van Dyke was not the same quarterback that he was prior to Mario getting there. So is it Trevor forgot how to play? Or is it that whatever is going on in Miami and whatever that system is just ain't very good? You know what I mean? And so I'm saying, let me see what Cam Ward looks like under Mario Cristobal before I can say, all right, they're gonna be all right. You know what I mean? Let me see what it looked like against Florida.
Well, they're gonna put a number.
They go out there and boat race Florida. They go out there and boat race Florida. I don't remember. Man, I say
they are gonna boat.
They go out there and boat race Florida. Then you know what I mean? I might be like, all right, they probably go out there, light it up or whatever it is, and they boat race Florida. Then I might come back and say, all right, it might be something different.
The problem in the Florida game for Miami or the Florida State game, that ain't their problem. Their problem is these games right here.
That's exactly right. And that's what I mean.
Those are two games.
Virginia Tech, Georgia Tech, and the games that they don't have no business being in dogfights with that they don't get up for. That's what I mean. Where Mario decides he's gonna do something silly in a close game, and now all of a sudden you know what I mean, you losing, or again a late fumble, because I think somebody put in the chat early, he carries the football like Mike Vick, and it is he's very much, you know what I mean, like backyard football style. So if I don't think he's changing that, let's see. You know what I mean. So again, like I said, I want to see what it looks like early, and if Miami can avoid that crazy loss early in ACC play, all right, because it happens every year. They'll roll off four wins against Bethune-Cookman and FAMU and some other school, and then they'll be back. And then they get in the first game of ACC play. We saw it. The first game of ACC play was Georgia Tech, and Georgia Tech beat them. Then came out another week and lost to somebody else, and it's like, now all of a sudden the season off the rails. And those players get it, and the coaches feel it, and then, you know what I mean? And that culture is not built up enough to where they can overcome that adversity. So now the whole season is off the rails, and you scrambling every single game in dogfight. They was in dogfight, I think, every game the rest of the season, simply after losing to Georgia Tech. So I'm saying, can Miami get out of their own way? They'll be as good as if they can get out of their own way. If Mario has fixed some of those culture issues, and if those things have changed, let's see.
Yeah,
Mertz is gonna beat a Miami defense.
Who is?
No, I don't believe that. I don't believe that. But we'll see. You know, we'll see. I think Florida State. Listen. So I guess you said you got Miami winning at least, or you think Miami's about 10 wins, and you believe Florida State's gonna be better. So then that means you got.
I mean, I don't. I don't know if Florida State's gonna be better than Miami. I don't know. I think FSU has a better football coach. So
they definitely have a better football coach.
I think FSU has a better football coach.
Like, do they have a better roster?
Like, as we sit here right now, I don't know. I don't think anything FSU can add on their roster would be better than Miami. Would get FSU a better roster than Miami, unless they find some kind of way to get a really legit left tackle and get a legit, maybe they have to go get like a, I don't know. Yeah, it had to be left tackle. I think that's the problem that's really kind of holding FSU back is getting real tackles. They don't have any real tackles yet. Keep adding guards for some reason. What's the problem? What am I saying that's crazy?
You're not saying anything crazy. That's why I don't want to. I'm trying not to like disagree.
I'm just curious. Like, what's counter. The...
No. Again, they don't have tackles. You're right. But they didn't have tackles last year and they went undefeated, right? Let me say this. I have enough trust in Mike Atkins and the offensive side of the ball and defense, really. I mean, in the defensive coaching staff, that whatever they put out on the field will play at the maximum level.
Right.
Let me say that. So, in other words, they didn't have tackles, but for whatever reason, it never really bit them in the games that you would think it should have. You know what I mean? They played some dogfights, but the playmakers that they had made plays. And I think what you're adding this season, you have a quarterback. I know mid, I agree with you on him being mid, but I think he's decent enough to where he's not going to lose you football games. And so if you have a quarterback who's not going to lose you football games, give me that. Especially if you're telling me you're surrounding him with a stable of running backs now, more receivers, and let's go, average offensive line play? I believe that in the ACC, with the ACC schedule, I believe with the schedule they have, I would see them winning the exact same. I would say 11 games. They may lose one. You know what I mean? Maybe 11-1. But it's hard for me to see anything less than that.
So you think FSU's gonna play next year and only lose one game?
I'm gonna hinge this on the idea that they find them some linebackers. If they find some linebackers, then I'm gonna say yes. If they find linebackers, I'm gonna say yeah. I would have them 11-1. Here's the thing, though. Here's the other thing. You now have a coach who's paid as a top coach in the country.
What do you think about that?
I love it, actually. Give him. He's earned it. Like at some, I got to give you what you've earned. You know what I mean? He's earned that. But with that comes responsibility. Now, I'm not. There is no rebuild. Like if you're paid like one of the top coaches, then you have to perform like one of the top coaches. That means that you don't have a year where you can come off and, you know what I mean, win 8 games. We done with the 8 games. Your floor is now 10. That's based on what he's getting paid, which again should have gotten it. He should have earned it. Yeah. But based on where he's getting paid at, and the fact that he was in conversations, whether we believe it or not, in conversation to be a replacement for Nick Saban at Alabama, then I'm to believe that he is one of the top coaches in the nation. I believe he's one of the top coaches in the nation. So that means on the season where you don't have everything going the best, you still got to figure out how to get 10 games. You still got to figure out how to get Nick. We saw that. We saw the good coaches. They figured it out. You talked about Jim Harbaugh. We talked about Harbaugh. Every single year, he just won 10 games. It didn't matter. Yeah. You're like, he won the championship or whatever it is. Even on his bad years, he was going to win 10 games. You knew it.
Yeah.
So I'm saying I believe that that's where Florida State has built themselves to be, and that's where they're paying their coach like they are. So if that's where we are as a program, then absolutely they should get to 10 wins is your minimum. So if you're getting 10 wins, cool. Now I'm saying, I can see them beating a team they probably shouldn't have beat or beating a team that may not have been fit. Like Notre Dame's going to be a very tough game for them, right? Mm-hmm. Can they beat Notre Dame? Absolutely. Will they beat Notre Dame? I don't know. Yeah, we'll see what happens. You know what I mean? Again, lot of offseason left to go. Let's see what happens in the portal. Let's see, you know what I mean? Let's see what happens in springtime. We'll know more as the season goes on. But as of right now, I would pick them to be 11-1 at minimum. But I'm not picking anything less than 10. Let's talk about it honestly, and I won't because this is what I believe our program is at this point.
Let's talk about the extension for a second, because I found that kind of fascinating, to be honest with you. Okay. I think that extension is like what now? What did that make him? $80 million, I think, over
80 million.
Was it 80 million?
Yeah, 10 years, 8 years. Yeah, 8 years,
eight years, ten million, I think.
Yeah, eight million. No, it's 8 years, 10 million a year.
Okay. Hold on, I think I got it right here. Nope,
they've added more money to the recruiting. He got paid like a coach who is a top tier coach.
Yeah. So yeah, it's $10 million per year.
Yeah.
I'm gonna say this about these college football coaches' extensions. Now that Nick Saban's gone, these coaches can't leverage me no more. I'm telling you, man. They came out often talking about, oh, the Florida job's open. I'm thinking about, like, hey, go take it. Go take it. I'm not paying you no more money.
At this point, there is no Alabama. You're right. I'm not finna be
negotiating against myself every year. I'm not gonna be adding years to your contract every year. I'm not doing that no more. Like, if I'm these college coaches, unless Kirby can do that, but the rest of these coaches, in my opinion, they have no leverage to do that type of stuff anymore. I mean, Nick was getting so many coaches fired out of the SEC till it was like ridiculous. Like year over year, he's got three coaches getting fired every year out of there because they can't beat him. And then after they play Alabama, basically lose the next two games after that because they demoralize you so much. So, you know, I mean, they end your program. But I'm fine with Norvell's extension. I think it's a pretty good contract. But I can tell you now, like, well, what they're paying him, the expectation should be 10 games a season. I mean, that's a healthy contract. You know what I'm saying? So you can't just be a cute program anymore, right? You have to step out of those shadows, right? I don't ever think he was really up for the Alabama job. I know everybody say something different, but I remember I told somebody the day Nick Saban retired, like, that job is going to Kalen DeBoer. It's either that or they going in-house. Because they were saying that Kalen DeBoer hadn't signed his contract. They had put like a big contract out for him like almost in October, and he didn't sign it. So they was like, when he didn't sign the contract, people was thinking like, okay, and you know Jimmy Sexton, he plays a bunch of chess. It was like, well, if he's not signing that contract, that means something big is coming open. Like, somebody knew a big job was coming open this year. You know what I'm saying? Like, this was like well known in the college football space that it's a big job coming open. And nobody knew, and people kept thinking it was going to be USC. Because they're like, well, you know, it's kind of weird over there with Lincoln Riley over there at USC. You know, it ended up being Nick Saban. But I always thought the board was going to get that job. So with that being said, but I don't mind Mike Norvell going to the table saying, hey, I need more money for the back offices. Because they do need help in the back offices. You know,
they do
need help back there. So I had a problem with that. I really don't have a problem with the raise. I think he's earned that raise over the last 2 years. I mean, you definitely put more than enough money, made them full stay more than enough money filling that stadium the last 2 years. And I think this year they're going to have a decent year this year. So I think the money be well worth it. But I know going forward though, if it's me, I'm not, these coaches coming to me talking about this job's open, I might think about it. Okay, bro, go take a look. Come back and let me know. Like, I'm not doing that. Like, you saw, that's what Arizona did. Arizona, like, okay, man, you want to go take the Washington job. We're not finna, like, these like Jimmy Sexton and what he does is kind of ridiculous sometimes, man. I mean, I'm not finna be negotiating against myself every year. You have a decent year here. Like,
well, the good thing is they don't have to. Like, again, Florida State, what could come open that you would think would tempt Mike at this point?
I wouldn't care.
I'm saying if
the Jaguars came open next year and they say and Jimmy Sexton decided to float his name out there for that, I'd be like, okay, bro, go take the Jaguar job. Because I think I can hire a coach at Florida State and that can recruit at a top 10 level and that can be a decent coach.
Yeah, 100%.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you have to get to that type of place where you can tell a coach, okay, I think I can hire another guy that's good in X and O that can run a program that'll take my top 25 job. Like, I'm not
finna be doing this. Yeah, we built it now to a place where, we would absolutely. If Mike had to go, it would be,
I think we would plug in somebody else
and he'd be successful. It wouldn't be like him taking over after Willard.
Right, and we support our coach. We've shown that we're going to support our coach. We give our coach all the resources and tools that he need. We got a good salary pay structure for all your assistant coaches. So at this point, I'm not, man. You're not gonna leverage me every year. Like, we're not doing this no more. Like, I will stop that completely. If I'm Florida State, if I'm in these top 25 programs, I tell the coaches, have a good day, man. Have a good day. You want to go look at the Browns job? Go look at it. Bye. Come back and let me know when you're done. I'm not extending you two more years every year. I'm not doing that because
now these buyouts are ridiculous. But I think at this point they shouldn't need to. Again, it's 8 years. You know what I mean? He shouldn't need an extension for a long, long time. We don't have to negotiate again for a long, long, long time. You know what I mean? Yeah. So and I'm hoping that that's what this last contract. If Mike leaves, if Mike's name is being floated, it's because Mike is leaving. You know what I mean? But it's not to get a raise at this point.
Yeah. If you float your name out there, I have some bad news for you. If you float your name out there, you come to my office. I'm like, okay, peace. Let me know how it goes.
It was a rough. Listen, I never thought Mike was leaving for Bama. I never thought that. That job just
doesn't fit him. You know, that's you got to be a gruff CEO type for that job. That's not a you know, fun loving, give great speeches and everybody dance type job. That's the crock pot. You know what I'm saying? That shit's simmering right now. It's off season. That shit's simmering at 350. You know what I'm saying? That shit is at 500 degrees come August 1st. You know what I'm saying? Like,
ready.
You know, like one guy said that, coach, they say you got three games for everybody to decide to make a judgment. He said, shit, I get three.
Yeah, right. I was about to say, you'll get three games. That first game, job, that message boy is gonna be on fire. You better listen to that. You better go win immediately at Bama. Immediately. I wouldn't even want that job. That's one of those I'd had to decline. I'd be like, I don't even want my name in the part of that. Now I don't float my name out there.
Because the thing about that job is, think about this. Saban hadn't won a national championship in 3 years, I think. Was it 3 years or 4 years he had to win a national championship? Three or four.
And they was on his head.
Think about this. This man, and that, this is something I do appreciate about Saban. I really do appreciate this about Saban. Saban won like 13, 13, 12, 13 again this year, right? Won the SEC, I think, 2 out of 4 years. This man felt like he couldn't coach them, get them to the next level of continuing to win championships. So he decided to step away. Like, that's an amazing thing for a guy to look in the mirror and say, you know what? I don't have the energy to keep getting them to this place. And for him to kind of walk away, I was kind of like, I kind of admired it because, you know, we had a coach here that was like, I ain't leaving. Like, I don't care what it looked like. Like, you know, I'm going to hire whoever I want to hire and keep on who I want to keep on my staff. And I sit here while it's 7 games, like, and ask for another year every year. You know what I'm saying? But Saban, like, man, I know y'all won't. 14-0 and 15-0 in championships here, and I don't think I can do it no more, so I'm out. You know what I'm saying? But that's a job, man, when you got to recruit at a top two level, top three level, and you got to win at a top one or two level too. And I don't think you can lose too many national championships without them getting pissed either. So no. You have to win. He's going to have to not be on a hot seat.
Like 3 years. Yeah,
he has to be on a hot seat. To not be in a hot seat, he's going to have to appear in a national championship game the first 3 years. He's going to have to end up winning one in the next 4 years to not be on a hot seat there. That's a hell of a job to have. Yeah, but I do think Kalen DeBoer is going to be good there, though. I really do.
Do you? I don't think he's going to be good.
Yeah. Man. Well, I think he's going to be good. It's not that
he's been put in a damn near impossible position. That's what I feel.
He won't be safe.
I feel like he is in a impossible position right now. That's what
I mean. He won't be saving good, but I think he'll be.
And that's what I'm saying. And that's why I think he'll be good. You got to be saving. Like they were on saving, and saving is saving. You understand what I'm saying? Like he ain't gonna be able to go out there and lose to anybody. Like, let them go out there and lose. I don't know the Bama schedule or whatever it is, but they go out there and lose one of them first 3 games. They're going to be on his ass.
Yeah.
And it's gonna be up from there. You know what I mean? Like it don't, like you said, it don't go down. You lose that one game, you don't get no points for winning the next one. They gonna just be like, yeah, but you lost that other one. Why you lost that? You know what I mean? Like that's a rabid, crazy ass fan base. And whew, we'll see. But shout out to Mike, deserved every penny. He, you know, again, earned it. You know what I mean? These last 2 years, again, from a guy who we did not think was going to make it, you know what I mean, as a coach to, you know, getting 10 mil a year. Man, shout out to Mike, man, proving people wrong and doing it the right way, man. I couldn't be happier for the guy, for real. I'm glad he got the money, man. But now, again, with that money, expectations are now apart. Go win 10 every single year, period. Like, I'm fine with 10. You know what I mean? But again, when we get into 8 and 9, that's when I'm gonna start. I'm gonna be on his ass. But go win 10 every year. That's what the good coaches do. That's the coaches who make the money that he's making, and the coaches who you know get the good contract are coaches who consistently win. I believe Florida State should be in the playoff every single year. Period.
Yeah. And how do you feel about what they've done currently in the portal?
I think they've done really great. It started out slow, and I wasn't sure where they were headed. But at this point, they've added a ton of talent in that back half. They've added, you know, pieces on defensive line. They got a lot of players on defensive line now to couple with the guys they already had there. You know, right now you got two deep on your defensive line at defensive end and defensive line position. I don't know if they can play. I don't know if they, you know, we'll see what some of these names can do. But I think from I can't pronounce the Hawaiian dude's name or the Samoan dude name. Great, great. You know what I mean? You know, but I think they've gotten a lot of. You look at again, Jackson is back. He'll get a chance. He'll start this season. You pair them with, you know, you got MJJ and Peyton on your ends. You also got some backups behind them. You got Earl Little Jr. You got, you know what I mean? Like at some point, you've added a lot of pieces. Then you got to talk about the wide receivers. They got some speed. They've added a kick returner. You know what I mean? They've added a kick returner now, some speed on kick return. You got a big bruising running back who can help you in those short yardage situations because I felt like we couldn't get 1 yard. Well, now you got a big running back who should be able to get you that, you know what I mean, that tough yard or two when you need it in a short down situation. You have a big quarterback who's also big and strong, so he can get you, you know, I think he can get you yards as well in short yardage situations where, you know, Jordan Travis wasn't that big of a guy. You got running backs, you have wide receivers. At this point, man, get me if they can find a tackle, just one. If you can find me a left tackle, a true left tackle, and get some linebackers. I saw somebody put in the Bama linebackers. I was told a while ago, Bama recruits different style linebackers than other schools. So I'm not sure if Florida State can I don't know if we're gonna take any of the Bama linebackers just because again, Bama linebackers are from what I was again, I'm telling from what I was told from an expert, Bama linebackers are built differently for a reason. And they build them a certain way because they want them to do different things than what our defense wants them to do. So we don't necessarily reach out to Bama linebackers. But maybe they will. You know, I don't know. Maybe things have changed. Nick Saban go, I don't know. What I'm saying is, though, they need a linebacker. They need a veteran linebacker right now. I wouldn't have brought Lundy back. I don't, you know, that's my personal opinion. You know what I mean? I don't think you can, you know, decide you're going to leave, do a commitment letter, and then decide because, you know, for whatever reason, you know, I don't know if it was a negotiation ploy or whatever it is, but I would have been like, you know, no. I don't think good left tackles don't hop in the court. Correct. You usually have to recruit those. But maybe they got a guy, you know what I mean, a swing tackle, a guard who, you know, can also play tackle who, I don't know, but they got to find something. Yeah, I agree they need DJ Lundy. I just wouldn't have brought him back. That's my, again, like I said, it's not about a need necessarily.
I'm curious to know about the DJ Lundy thing because, girl,
you left, made a commitment letter, missed the bowl game, and then just came back. Like, dog, no, get your ass out.
He's not good. And I'm not
saying I'm about to say, and he's limited. He can only do one thing.
I mean, when he was committed to Colorado, you know, I talked to some of their people on Twitter, you know, I like the Buffs. And I'm like, they talking to me about DJ. I'm like, dude, DJ London, is it good? Why did Deion take DJ London? Because he's not that good. Like, well, he was like, really? And the dude was like, go ahead.
He would have had a very bad season, is what I was going to say. He would have had a very bad, from what they would have asked of him to do, to be every now and then.
He's going to have a very bad season this year.
but they don't ask him to do very much. And again, if Lundy is not your starting linebacker, then we okay. That's what I mean. Like, if Lundy is our starting linebacker, I would not feel good about that. Because again, Lundy is one dimensional. That's it. Downhill, run stopping, filling the gap, and that's it. That's right. It. So again, I'm going under the assumption that they will continue to use him like that. If they're going to use him on, you know, sure running downs to plug it up, I think he's great at that. If they start telling me that Lundy is our starting backer who has to guard tight ends and do other things and run sideline to sideline, yeah, it's going to be a long season.
He's a fullback, man. He's a fullback.
That's exactly okay. That's what I'm saying. So again, that I would have let Lundy walk.
I
would have found me a couple good linebackers.
Yeah. I mean, enough is enough, bro. You. Whatever, man.
How do you feel about that? How do you feel about that? I know it. I feel the same way about Lundy.
I'm just like,
when he left, we was like, all right, good. Shit. Yeah.
Get up over and the Buffs people was so excited. I'm like, bro, he is not good, bro. They talk, well, look how good his run grade. I said, yeah, because we played him on goal line. Like, that's correct. All he can do.
In the situations that we used him in, he was very good.
How many times a team gonna line up right in front of you and say we run the ball downhill? Like, if he have to play 50 snaps a game, you're not a good at linebacker. You're not good at linebacker if you're playing 50 snaps. You're not good.
We're not. So listen, we need linebackers. Let me be very clear. We need linebackers. Lundy, I'm assuming, is going to do the exact same thing Lundy did last year.
FSU people come here with saying he's a great leader. What does that translate to? What does that mean? What? I don't know what that means.
Who said that?
That's what people tell. That's what people say, man. I just look at these people. I'm like, what does that mean? He's a good leader. What does that mean?
All right, so let's take a step back then. So our great leader, all right, decided. No, because if that's what they're saying, I want to just make a point. So our great leader left before the bowl game, right? Mm-hmm. Committed on Christmas to Colorado.
Right.
Missed the bowl game. And then was like, you know what? I'll come back.
Yeah.
And like that's our leader. We have a failure of leadership, guys. Like, I don't know. there's a failure of leadership, guys. I don't know. Like, what are we talking about, man? Like,
bro, it's always the spin on these things. And I'm just like, I don't tangibly, what are we talking about? When people tell me something about somebody being a good leader when they can't play, I'm like, what are we talking about? What are we talking about?
Play leads.
You need people that can play. Yeah, I need people that can play.
Your leaders were Fisk and Fisk because he made plays. That's your leader.
I'd be over these conversations. But I mean, the transfers.
Hey, they never pissed off Sam more than one of these FSU sites posting that the players in the best shape of their life. Sam would call me like, here they go again. No, such in the best shape of their
life. For the third offseason straight. But I'm looking at the transfer list, man. To be honest with you, I'll be honest with y'all. Like, Marvin Jones Jr., I think he could be better at FSU than what he was at Georgia.
I don't think
he's gonna be Jared Verse. I really don't.
I think Peyton's Jalen Verse, honestly.
I'm gonna tell you what this transfer list really tells me. This transfer list tells me, out of the 13 guys that they got right now, and I think by the time they're done, they're going to have 15. Out of the 15 guys they got right now, they're going to hope that 7 of them in the 24th season can be really good players and can help them get to where they want to go in 2025. I mean, yeah, 25.
Let me ask, because when you come to this,
when I look at these guys, I don't see a lot of upgrade, and I don't see a lot of guys that's going to upgrade the roster than what it was last year. Or I don't see guys that's going to be replacement level of what you had last year. Like, I don't think this, like, some of these Samoan kids that they keep talking about, I don't think these kids are going to be better than Fitz. I think Fitz is really, really good. The Grady Kelly kid from Colorado State, I mean, it's Colorado State. I watched him play against Colorado. You know, I watched him. Mm-hmm. So I didn't see some D-tackle terror against Colorado. That was a terrible.
What about the African kid? Dorie Jay or whatever.
Well, I mean, and then even with these Oregon transfers, I'm not saying they're bad players. I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying they're probably good players, but I'm saying I don't think they're – I just don't think you got a Jared Verse or Braden Fisk in this group right. Not yet. Not now. Devontae Brown kid, which somebody came right in my – mentions talking about he's not on scholarship, but he is on scholarship. Just don't feel like arguing with people all the time. But that kid's not really that good. I mean, I think at what you got at cornerback and safety, I don't know why you would even take Devontae Brown, to be honest with you. So that is what that is. Jaylen Brown, I think he's an interesting prospect, but he can't catch. But maybe you can get him to start learning how to catch, you know. Rondale Williams, I do think that running back is a big deal. Richie Leonard, I think Richie Leonard he'd be pretty good for you on the offensive line because you had some really terrible guard play this year. Chance Ferguson, he'll probably play. You know, it's funny because people keep talking about these Bama offensive linemen and things. And my biggest thing with them is if are you going to change your offense? Because these Bama offensive linemen are big. They're not good pullers. They're not good. And it's why Michigan exposed them a little bit, because Michigan was quicker than they was.
Maybe they're changing up in philosophy. You know what I mean?
I thought Bama was too big on the offensive line. Like, when you weighing 350 across the whole offensive line, I think you're almost too big, right? So I'm not saying the Bama offensive lines are not good. I'm just saying you do a lot of pulling, a lot of wham blocking and things like that. So I just kind of – I think you got to – and then the Benson kid from Alabama, I mean, that kid didn't really play for Alabama. Alabama didn't have great wide receivers. Granted, the quarterback wasn't that great either throwing the football, but, I mean, he didn't – I don't know, man. Like I said, I'm going to wait until the season starts before I start making some real hard judgments on it. But I think this tells me 25, if you can hit out of 7, if you can get 7 of these guys that can really play, hit on 7 of them, I think you're going to have – I think you're feeling good about 25. That's what that list tells me, to be honest with you. That's what I think.
So you don't think they shoot – you don't think this – what they've done this season is helping them for 24?
I think it raises your floor, but I don't think your ceiling's that high. I don't think this group raises your ceiling that much, to be honest with you.
So, again, I'm just early on right now. You don't
like what Don just said. 320 is good size. Hold on. I'm going to say this. Don put right here, like, 320 is good size. 320 is good size. That's not the 350, but I just kind of, when it comes to Bama offensive line, to my, in a pulling scheme like this, I'm curious, like, how did that translate? How did that look? I don't know.
I'm going to be honest. Yeah. I don't know either. I'm going to say, every single year we've seen Mike adjust, right? Mike has adjusted from what we've seen just about every single year at different times. So I'm going to look at Mike and say, they'll figure it out. If they need to be a power running team this season, they'll be a power running team this season.
That's a good point, too.
Now, I don't believe that's what the case is. I think Mike's going to always have his staple of play. Like, I thought we saw that Will route ran – played out, you know, to the point where it stopped even being open because they ran it so often. I don't believe that'll be a big part of Mike Norvell's offense next season. I think he'll look around and say they've kind of figured that piece out of my playbook. Let me switch it up. I don't believe Mike's coming in here with the exact same team, with the exact same schemes and systems that he ran. I think he's gonna have to look at his team, evaluate what he's doing, and then say, all right, I have a different running style this season. I think he has the ability to get back to what he really wants to do this season, to be honest with you. with his stable of running backs and his interior offensive line, Mike wants to run the football. Last year was the anomaly for him, where he threw it. Well, you know, he had Jordan throwing, you know, throwing the ball a bunch of times. Boy, he had tight ends, he had wide receivers, and he had running backs who could catch the football. So I think Mike kind of changed it up a little bit and switched from his running game to a passing game. If I'm looking at what he's doing with the big interior offensive linemen, if they can move, then I think we'll get back to the Mike Norvell of Memphis, where Mike's going to run the football, run the football, run the football. And you have a quarterback who's also, you know what I mean, a stronger running back as well. As opposed, he's not Jordan Travis level of athlete, but he is a decent runner of the football, and he's a bigger body. So I can look and say, I think what Mike is going to do is I think he's going to adjust. I look at they've gotten some decent pieces, very big bodies in the interior offensive line. You have big running backs now who also, you know what I mean, who can pound out some yards. And you got a stable of running backs. Yeah. I can see this season not being the offense still getting to 24 to 30 points a game, but just doing it differently. You know what I mean? And if Mike can do that, you know what I mean, run the ball consistently to set up those play actions, it'll look a lot like, what was that, 2022? You know what I mean? The 22 season was a lot of run the ball. And now when we load you to sleep, we can now take it and drop back and hit you with those shot plays that Mike want to do. So I feel good about the season. I feel good about the transfers and where they are today. And again, the caveat is, please get us a linebacker. I would like to. And we'll, again, we still have spring as well that we can, you know, possibly get a linebacker or two.
Yeah.
But give me some linebackers and maybe a tackle. And I'm ready to tell you a day in the playoffs.
Okay.
Linebackers and a tackle, and I'll be able to tell y'all a day in the playoffs.
Yeah, I think, you know, if they go into more of a power run game, I do think that benefit DJ, and I do think that'd benefit the offensive line. You know, like I said, I'm just talking about them Bama offensive line. Those some big guys, man. They don't move that well, man. You know?
Big dudes, though.
Huh?
I don't need you to move. Get me 3-4 yards. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but
line me up a running back. And Toa Philly has improved every single year, right? Every single year we've seen him improve. Mm. So you tell me he gonna hit a hole at 100 and actually have not have to juke a guy in the backfield, but he can actually get to the second level and make a move. I think you'll have a very good season from Toa Philly.
Yeah, I mean, I think moving to more power and less trying to be less tricky.
The counter may have to go. I know that's, you know what I mean, Mike's thing. That counter may have to go. We can't run the counter this season.
Yeah, I'm fine.
Or maybe they can move. I don't, you know what I mean? Or maybe they can move. Either way it goes, I think we will get, I think we'll average you booking tickets to Charlotte. Get us some linebackers, and then I'll tell you. You know what I mean? We get some linebackers, and then I'll tell you. But if Lundy out there, I don't feel good about it.
Yeah. Yeah, I do think it's said.
This could be the season we play Miami twice, though.
Yeah, that'd be fun. Yeah. Let's see. Yeah. Any other
regular season of ACC championship? No, you got anything else?
Let's see here.
Yeah, Rodell and Toa Philly is a fire combination. I'm with y'all on that one. Oh no, we had some stars stuff, didn't we?
Yeah, I put these stars, but I don't think none of these apply to anything.
It's Cam Warren and Cam can throw the ball. I think we'll get worse.
Yeah. Oh, you know something else I do think is happening? I think that offensive coordinator for Michigan is gonna end up getting the head coaching job at Michigan. I think that's why Harbaugh is waiting for all these coaches to gotta get that move, because I think he's going to force Michigan to hire the offensive coordinator. He's not going to allow them to hire somebody else. Yeah, I think that's why he's waiting to make his announcement, because I think he's like, hey, I'm going to make sure my guy Sharabo gets this job, so I'm going to just sit here and wait. I'm not going to, you know what I'm saying? So he just, that's so Harbaugh. That is so Harbaugh, bro.
I'm with it. He cried too much, but I'm with it.
What? Harbaugh the man. That's my guy.
Nah, I like Harbaugh.
I like Jim. Jim, my guy.
Who is this Jackson kid they talking about?
Oh, I don't know, man. That thing is a kid from Ole Miss. Ole Miss had like 25.
Oh, yeah, Ole Miss. Oh, yeah. So I guess they say he's going to walk on at Florida State.
No.
Old star going to walk on at Florida State? Okay. Yeah. We'll talk about it. I don't know. I'm just kind of reading on the fly right now.
Well, y'all
crying coach. Yeah, crying coach. Yeah,
that crying coach. Hey, one thing about that motherfucker coach my offensive football.
I'm sick of it.
He can coach some offensive football. I give him that.
Yeah.
Hey, he kind of is what we thought Alex Atkins was gonna be. I'm just saying, bro.
Hey, okay. So I did. It's funny, right? Because I've been holding off on a lot of my Alex Atkins hate because I've built him up. But Atkins better goddamn recruit. Like, you know what I mean? Like I gave him a little bit of pass. He don't have some passes for a minute. But Atkins better get his ass out there.
You know what I mean? Think Atkins that bad, man.
I think
overblowing it a little bit.
I said he better get his ass out there and recruit. You know what I mean? Like, he ain't fine. All right. That's all I'm gonna say it like that. I ain't gonna go too much deep on it. Atkins better get his ass out there and recruit.
I think people kind of overblow that situation.
Oh, speaking of NCAA violations, what are you making at?
Oh, NCAA violations. I just think that kind of showed that you got a staff that kind of is and still is having a hard time navigating how to recruit in the South and how to get things done. You know what I'm saying? Because I told somebody, I was like, man, I'm not having my offensive coordinator to drive somebody to a money meeting. I'm just probably not going to have that. I'm not going to let that happen. That's kind of stupid. You kind of don't, shouldn't do that. You shouldn't have your position coaches driving somebody that you're recruiting to a money meeting. You need a lot further degrees of separations, right? Like Jim Harbaugh didn't send his position coaches to go scout. He sent some guy off the books with a LinkedIn. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, you got to be a little smarter than that. You know what I'm saying? That's just not very smart. Smart.
I think as far as violation goes, NCAA is a joke. Because, I mean,
yeah, but you can
it's the wild fucking West. You know what I mean? Like, it's the wild West. Yeah, I get it, right? I could have called you an Uber, or we could have grabbed Greg from around. Hey, Greg, what you doing right now? Hey, come ahead and take these boys over here to this meet real quick. And it would have saved, you know what I mean? It would have saved a violation. But it's the Wild West. What we doing? You know what I mean? Like, as far as violations go, get out of here with this foolishness. You know what I mean? Like, it's real stuff happening right now. First of all, it's been Wild Wild West for a long time. It's now openly the Wild Wild West. So at this point, what are you like? Y'all going for driving a kid to a meeting that he was going to go to this meeting anyway? The money was going to still get handed to him anyway? Like, what are we talking about? You know what I mean? Like, I thought it was stupid from the NCAA perspective, from Florida State's perspective. So just call up your intern, your assistant. Y'all got to, there's somebody out there, a GA. Anybody who's, you know what I mean? Just find somebody who can, you know, who can do it. Now he gonna miss three games. I don't know the impact it has necessarily on games. You know what I mean? With the offensive line coach missing the game. I know he's also the offensive coordinator, but I mean, Key, is he really? You know what I mean? Mike's been calling these plays and always has. I agree with that. Someone said Wilcox wasn't letting us slide. Yeah, it feels like a, you know, Stan Wilcox move.
Say, have some self-awareness, people. Okay.
Definitely. Don't have
your position coach drive recruits to a money meeting. Like, that's rule number one.
They were saying it wasn't an existing rule, though.
Okay. I think that's rule number one during recruiting. Like, my position coach
during the old recruiting.
Okay. So that's rule number one. Okay. Like, don't have your position. Like, the head coach don't have conversations about money with recruits. Right.
They say Bama linebacker Sean Murphy's on campus. Great.
Okay.
Linebackers.
So all I'm saying is, I just think certain things you got to be smart about. You know what I'm saying? Like, them getting that Bama level.
We're bringing all of Bama kids.
Yeah, so
he was like, I guess if they willing to come, let's just bring them on. Shit.
Yeah, And I found it funny because somebody, I think Bud, put out talking about what they offered Mims wasn't even close to the going rate at the time for an elite offensive tackle like that. Which is funny because when we missed him, it was because he wanted to be back at Georgia because his friend had passed away. I just be like, y'all just, these narratives are so funny to me. These narratives, listen, man.
Listen,
it's these narratives, man.
Listen to me, we do a good job of covering for the people we like. Let me just say that. Like, no, I ain't even gonna say it. You know what? We're I ain't even gonna do. Listen, shout out to Mims, Atkins. Stop driving players places and recruits to business meetings. I'm your assistant. Get your assistant to do it. It's okay. You get, you know.
That's why you hire GAs. That's why you have.
Yeah, I was literally about to say that there's a reason why they're GAs. Their job is to assist for the things that you don't necessarily feel like doing. If they were not available, then tell Greg or Chrissy or who, just hey, who out here in the hallway? You know what I mean? Just look at the corner and just tell them to do it, man. You're the offensive line coach for Florida State. You can find somebody to drive across town. Call me. I'm a good 90 minutes away from Tallahassee. You call me, I'll bring them. I'll make the trip just to take them over just to say, you know, just to keep from getting recruited. Find somebody to do it.
Yeah. I just think that was just kind of like, I mean, I was kind of like off put by the whole situation because I'm like, bro, what are we doing here, bro? Like, you don't, what kind of operation we run around here? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, listen, Atkins got 3 GAs, more than anybody on staff. God, stop giving us facts. That
didn't make any sense.
Yeah, because see, that makes it even worse. Anyway. Listen, Cubby say Bama Beats is saying Murphy isn't a nothing loss for them in line to make a huge impact or in line to make an impact in 2024. Okay.
Yeah, I know.
Listen, man, we need linebackers that's not named London. I'm cool with it. I'm cool with it. At this point, I'm going to assume anybody they bring in has got to be an upgrade over what we have.
No, I think what FSU got, I think it's going to be a pretty decent team next year. I think the floor be. I think they can get to 10 games, 10 wins. I think that's the goal. I think they can get there.
Get them in the playoffs?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, it's going to be tough, man. I think it's going to be some – because I think it's going to be a little bit more parity next year. So, you know.
So you think it'll be like a few two-loss teams maybe then, you know?
I do. I think it'll be a few two-loss teams. I think it might be a lot of 9-3 teams. You know what I'm saying?
Okay. Well, good. Well, then, hey. Look, that's what I would love it. I would love for every game not to have, you know what I mean, you not have to go undefeated to make the playoffs. That's what I would like, to feel a little bit more, not a lot, but a little bit more like the NFL. I would like it to not have, oh, shit, we don't lost the game. Season over with. Let's go. You know what I mean? Like, I think the ability to lose a game or two should be a part of college football. And I think that Nick Saban talked about that. And Nick Saban talked about that, like, one of his last, you know, interviews. He was like, oh, y'all don't understand the importance of going undefeated. You know what I mean? Going undefeated is very difficult. Y'all keep, you know, making it seem like it's just the easiest thing in the fucking world, and it's not. And so I think, yeah. I think it can help a little bit.
Tate talking about it, offered him 15K, but Tate, he was coming though. Tate, it's just these mysterical things happened that held him back.
He was going to finish his recruiting trip, then his friend died, and it put him in a tailspin. Well, and
he had to go back.
He had to go
dumbest,
back.
Dumbest narrative of all time. But anyway,
finished for 13, man.
But yeah, man. So I do. I think they'd be a 9-10 win team next year. You know,
I'm not accepting 9. I'm telling you,
They're gonna need a lot of this portal stuff to kind of work out, though. I think a lot of stuff is gonna have to shake out in a pretty good place for them. I think. Out of the portal takes, to be honest with you, though, the one I like the most is Earl Little. I think Earl Little's gonna make the biggest impact, and I think Rondell Williams will make the bigger impact. But out of those two, that's who I would probably say. I think
also those are Bama kids, coincidentally.
You know? Yeah, all right. But just saying, I think those two will be.
And then we're gonna add in Murphy. Yeah, we the new Bama. Murphy gonna be all our impact players gonna be from the, like, when they gonna call those games, it's gonna be like the Bama transfer. Okay,
man, I mean, I'll tell you one thing, man. College football is such a dumb place. Like,
that's FSU, why do they keep saying that? Like, everybody has transfers. They keep, every time they announce, and I watched the whole, it wasn't just Florida State, but every game they call, it'd be such and such made a play, the such and such transfer. I'm like, no, they play for this team now. Who gives a fuck where they transferred from at this point? But that's
because it's just, it's dumb. It's dumb because you're talking about, like, FSU going to have, like, 15 transfers. I mean, I think you got some other programs that's going to have double-digit transfers. It's just like,
yeah,
bro, it's just crazy. Like, we're not talking about people supplementing their roster. We talking about people coming out trying to get 11 new starters. Like, that's kind of insane when you think about it, year over year. Year over year, 11 new starters.
We've lived with it, and it's worked for Mike.
No, I'm not.
I agree with what you're saying.
I know what you're saying, but I'm just saying in general, like, it's just, college football is just, it's ridiculous, yeah, man. This crazy. Is.
Yeah,
this,
all your, yeah, you basically replacing starters every single year with people with backups of starters from other teams. It doesn't seem like a viable system that should work, but it's college football right now. And yes, the one from UM is trash. Cool. You know that DB we got from UM. I was told I was told that he was just a veteran to bring in the room. That's how it was laid out. He's not brought in to start to do anything. He's just supposed to be just
much experience, pass interference, and that it'd be good to have him in the room.
Yeah, he just got a whole bunch of experience that they just needed in the room. I'm only telling what was told to me, but yeah, he is trash. He's ridiculous. But they needed the experience in the room.
They needed the guy that pass interference a lot to come in the room to tell everybody not to pass interference. Don't do this. Hey,
don't pass interference, guy. Don't do what I do. Don't do what I do. Be better than me. That's what they brought him in for. Be better than me.
Yeah, so we'll see, man. We'll see. I think Earl is gonna be big time. But man, we went for 1 hour and 26 minutes, man.
Yeah, we had a lot. I mean, you know, we hadn't done an episode. We had a whole lot to cover, man. I don't think Earl will come into play slot either. I think they're gonna use him how what's the boy? Like they use like LaMarcus Joyner. I think he's gonna play a lot in the box, in my opinion. But we'll see.
You know, I do wish the fans
like star role.
I do wish the fans of college football were all kind of uniform together on criticism of other each other's programs. Because nothing you say about a college football program, a rival, or anything, everything you say about those programs or those rivals, it really is you too. Like, all these teams are like the same. They all taking all these damn transfers. None of the coaches want to develop. The kids don't want to get developed. It's at both programs. I want us to stop talking about development all the time. It's really,
there's no development. Yeah, everybody in win now mode.
Yeah,
I got you. If you still on my roster and you a junior, you here because you like the campus. You know what I mean? Like, you really ain't here to play football. Nobody's developing hardly anybody anymore. It's funny, every time somebody posts something like a meme or something like that about, you know, Florida State, Florida State answers back with the exact same thing that happened to them, vice versa. Like the whole Big Three just be arguing back and forth, just saying the same thing that just happened to them. It's so stupid. Like, it's why I can't participate in it, because it's so dumb. Like, you know, oh, y'all wasn't there. Y'all only put up 3 points. Okay, well, y'all put up 3 points against this team. What? You know what I mean? Like, it's just constant silly shit. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. Yeah, and Kobe, yeah, like Jamie. But, silly. Yeah, Big Three is fun, man. But, hey, listen, we appreciate y'all listening, man. How many we had in here, Sam?
At one time, it got to, I think, 100.
Man, that's what's up, man. 100 live, man. We appreciate y'all listening. If y'all have not subscribed, those subscriber numbers keep going up, man. We keep getting more and more, and we appreciate every last one of y'all, man. You know, stick with us. We're going to definitely try to do more this offseason than we did last offseason. I think both of us were in the middle of some transition, so we're going to definitely try to do more this offseason to cover some things, get y'all some guests and stuff like that. happy anniversary to the MLK receiver. That was a great day on Florida State and FSU Twitter, man. For those of y'all who remember the MLK with the wide receiver Florida State gloves, that was a wonderful day on Twitter. So happy MLK day to y'all, man. And man, this is the Listen Up Podcast, man. Sam, you got anything?
Nope, we are out.
We out.
Third Listen Up Podcast. Yep. Yep. Serve crack. I'm gon' front me some pizza.